And not everything I'm going to talk about today is illegal. But everything that I'm going to talk about today is bad for regular Americans.
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
I'm a geek. I'm a nerd. I'm a data wonk.
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I talk about food a lot on the show. It's a thing. I am a foodie.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you, thank you, thank you, everyone who has been participating in the flurry of texts on our text lines from the last hour. I have been attacking with vigor and I hope clarity the insanity that is the Republican budget reconciliation and tax plan that was passed in the wee small hours of the morning last night by the House Ways and Means Committee. Make no mistake, everyone, while Republicans are screaming and yelling and flailing their arms about like wokeism and CRT and we gotta audit Harvard and cut their funding and rah, all this nonsense, dividing us using our most base, lowest instincts, they're busy stealing from the middle class. I don't have any other word for it. Stealing from the middle class, gutting things like emergency food assistance, SNAP, Medicaid, that help keep tens of millions of Americans alive with food in their bellies. They're stealing. They got their hand in your pocket. Pay it. Don't pay any attention to the man behind the curtain, please. Because if people actually understood what has gone on, there would be even more tens of thousands of people in the street. We have legalized corruption in this country dating back to 1976 in the decision Buckley v. Vallejo. The Supreme Court last year said, yeah, bribing government officials is fine as long as it's just a gratuity that happens after the fact. 2010, Citizens United. Yes, money is speech. Corporations are people. Which means every middle-class person, we're just whispering, whisper, whisper, whisper. While billionaires command the world's largest communication platforms and can flood politicians with soft money, they scream when we just whisper. And one of the most immediate results of that is that small businesses get hurt badly. And Trump's tariff terror has been just that for businesses on Main Street. We're going to talk about the reasons why with my next very special guest. His name is Richard Trent. He is the executive director of Main Street Alliance. Richard, thank you, thank you, thank you for being here. What an important topic. So let's start with the obvious question. Trump takes the Chinese tariff from 145 down to 30. It's still a dark and desperate time for so many small businesses, is it not?
It absolutely is. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Go ahead, Richard.
So the thing that we're not talking about enough is the fact that even if you were one of the small businesses that actually stood to benefit from the tariffs, and this is a very small sliver of American companies that would stand to benefit from this tariff policy. No one benefits from an administration of chaos and uncertainty. If you're a small business owner, the average small business owner, 50% of small business owners in this country are operating on a month of working capital. You need to have the peace of mind and the clarity to say, okay, in quarter three, I'm going to hire XYZ staff. By the end of the year, this is how we're going to be cash flowing. No company in America is capable of operating with that level of clarity because of how haphazardly the Trump administration has moved forward with this tariff imposition. So, it's very, very clear that the tariffs are still high, right? Like, 145 or 135 down to 30. That's still a huge problem for small businesses. But all small businesses are still suffering from this blanket uncertainty.
Well, and it's not just the 30, right? What people don't realize that there's the fentanyl tariff, there's this, there's the baseline tariff, then there's the 30%, and you add them all up, and it's still the highest tariff level. I don't care if you're talking about China, Canada, Mexico, our partners in the EU. By the way, we haven't seen any actual results from the pseudo plan with the UK. We're still at the highest levels, tariff levels that our country has seen basically since the 40s. And Richard, let's dig in here. What people don't understand is that these tariffs actually, with the chaos, will end up potentially benefiting what I'm going to call mega corporations, simply because they have the ability, because of the economies of scale, one, they can they have massive bargaining power when they're bargaining with suppliers to drive down their baseline supply costs before the tariff is even applied. The tariff, of course, on a percentage basis, multiplying the impact, the effectiveness of their ability to bargain down that input cost. Two, they have much bigger cash flows. Again, the economies of scale. They have larger margins that they're able to extract. And even when their margins get really, really razor thin, as long as you're still creating a profit, yeah, you can make that up on volume. Am I getting this right, Richard? It's like this double whammy for small businesses. One, it can crush the business. Two, they can't plan. And three, if they were able to compete with some of these mega corporations, think Amazon, Walmart, etc., they ain't able to now.
Yeah, this is a really smart point that I wish more Democrats in Congress would harp on, which is that you can boil down the Trump approach to economic planning over the last 3 months to insiders win, outsiders lose.
Yes.
Anybody that's in the inner circle of Trump, the tech CEOs that were on the dais at inauguration, everybody that has access to what he's going to tweet about tariffs the day before he actually tweets it, all of those people stand to benefit from this environment of chaos and uncertainty. They're chaos entrepreneurs, and you're absolutely right that it's the large corporations of the world that have the coffers chock full of cash, basically, to weather the economic uncertainty that will inevitably put a great deal of small businesses across the country out of business. And it's a really, really good point to make. But it's indicative of just how Trump and his inner circle think about these matters. It's not a matter of connecting empathetically with Americans and meeting them where they are and figuring out where their struggles are. I mean, think about it. There's a world where he could have crafted a tariff policy that makes some bit of sense.
Targeted. Yep.
That makes some sense, right? Like, it could have been super targeted, focused on something with national security or an underinvest. But he didn't do that. He didn't talk to small business owners from across the country. He didn't hear how 145% tariff or 135% tariffs on China would decimate the bottom line for thousands of businesses across the country. He didn't ask. He just didn't talk to anybody, because this administration doesn't care about the struggles of working class families. And it's up to shows like this, to organizations like Main Street Alliance, to the Main Street Alliance members that have been speaking up in the face of all this chaos. It's up to us to make sure that folks understand people are out there fighting for you. People out there still care about working families. People are still fighting to make Main Street vibrant.
Richard, I'm with you every step of the way here, because there's nothing more offensive to me than hearing a Ron Johnson or any conservative get up and say, like, I'm pro small business. Then why are you killing them? I don't care if we're talking about the ability to literally lobby for your exemption because you can donate massive sums of money to the president's inauguration, or you just have that kind of largesse and access. It's beyond just the negotiating sort of pay to play element of the exemptions from tariffs, which have been given to big time donors and the president's favorite corporations or corporate CEOs. It's beyond that. It's, again, the margins are smaller for smaller businesses. They rely more on imports from cheap exporting countries like China, right? That's how a lot of small businesses have to make their business work. You take that out, the business simply goes away. They cannot make it work. The relative cost impacts, again, the limited supply chain options. They don't have the ability to move to a different input goods supplier, right? All of these things combined. And I keep telling people, you are going to see a wave of small business bankruptcies. When the U.S. Chamber of Commerce sends their director into the Oval Office to beg the president to relent on small businesses, and he's like, meh, 68 million Americans work in small businesses. That's almost the number of people that voted for him. You know, like, I just, this one is so off the charts, bad for small businesses. And I don't think people have yet figured out these moves that he's making to try to ratchet it back is because the people with access and whom he perceives as his target audience were saying to him, you're about to burn your supporters. But it's not, it may be very much too little, very much too late to save a lot of small businesses. I mean, even calculating, well, how much is this input actually going to cost me? I've looked at those tariff, basically like balance sheets when you got to come in on the importers, and it's, you got five different line items and you add them up and it's, oh, the $100 product or the $10,000 if you're buying at scale is now $180,000. I mean, it's just, it's so mind boggling. Richard, if you can speak to the folks that are listening right now and you want them to know something so that the next time they're having a conversation with Uncle Larry or hanging out in the grocery store in line with Susie from down the street, what do you want them to say to the Trump voter who says they are also supportive of small businesses?
I think the important thing to communicate is that small business owners, since early April, when the first bit of tariffs went into effect, they've been registering this moment as an existential crisis on par with COVID, right? Where it was, yes, like mass extinction event, like this could spell the end for so many small businesses. And so we've been getting at Main Street Alliance countless emails from just scared entrepreneurs, people who built businesses because their communities needed a service and they supplied it. And These are the brave voices that have been fighting back in the face of all this chaos. Today, I was on the Hill here in D.C. With Julie Robbins, who runs a company in Ohio that makes guitar equipment and pedals. And she said very clearly to Joni Ernst, who runs the Senate Small Business Committee, that tariffs are not helping small business owners. It's looting Main Street and making it so that Main Streets are a Dollar Tree here, a Walmart there, and that's it. And so the thing that we need to communicate to our MAGA supporting relatives and friends and lovers is like, this is a war for a vision for America, mm-hmm. right? Do you want to live in a world where your main strip, your main street in your town is Target, Walmart, and nothing else because the mom and pop store can't survive? Or do you want to live in a world where small business owners stand up and fight for a Main Street that's vibrant and that's responsive to community need?
Folks, that's Richard Trent, executive director of the Main Street Alliance. He's coming back with me on the other side. Are we staring down the double barrel of a tipping point where small businesses start filing for bankruptcy, but there is no food aid, fewer people have Medicaid, and we're all sicker? What happens when all of these things reach ahead at the same time? We discuss next right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.